We're looking at new state standardized test results that are out this morning here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And the results show a persistent achievement gap that hasn't budged much in recent years. Test scores dropped in English and math last school year. Average ACT score for 11th graders declined for the second year in a row. Are you a parent or teacher? What are your thoughts on standardized testing? Is it fair to apply the same standard everywhere? Does it make sense? And where do you think Wisconsin schools need the most support? Join in at 800-642-1234. Heather Dubois-Bournon is executive director of the Wisconsin Public Education Network. That's a nonpartisan coalition that advocates for public schools. Heather, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks, Kate. Good morning.
So about 60% of students between third and eighth grade, they're not meeting grade level expectations in reading and writing and math. Is that a concern here? That hasn't changed much in recent years, but it seems like the numbers are trending downward in these scores.
Yeah, it is a huge concern to me as a parent, to me as an education advocate, and to educators around the state that we still haven't really figured out how to sync up how well our kids are doing and how we're measuring their success. And I think this latest batch of test results just confirms what we've already been trying to shine a spotlight on for so many years, which is that we're not really giving our districts very effective tools for measuring student performance. And we're predictably getting the same results again and again and again.
Okay, so what's going on here? Because the Department of Public Instruction looks at proficiency of student skills to measure success. So what counts as proficient? How do we measure that?
Well, of course, we want to know how well kids are doing and how proficient they are in reading and math and other subjects. But the problem here with the data that we're looking at today is that the benchmark keeps changing. A few years back, we adopted a new set of state standards, which raised the bar much higher than it had been before in terms of how we look at proficiency, which on the one hand is great, right? We have higher aspirations and we're expecting more of our kids and we're setting a higher bar for their goals. We love that. But it takes districts a while to catch up with that new benchmark and the new way that we're testing, the new tests that we're using, and the new standards that we're using. So districts are looking at different curricula, different ways of instruction, different ways of structuring their school days. And all of those things take time and training and diligence. And in the end, it gives us kind of a snapshot, but one that's best understood in very localized and specific ways. When we compare how students in one grade specifically did in the next grade at an individual school, and that school can look at the data and say, oh, here's what we did that moved this or that for this particular child. When we look at the data as like one huge snapshot for the whole state, it's a little overwhelming and confusing, and it doesn't really dig in to how each child is doing. So it tells us that we have a lot of work to do, but it also doesn't tell us what we're doing well.
Well,
and so that can be confusing for folks, I think.
We're talking with Heather Dubois-Bournon. She's executive director of the Wisconsin Public Education Network. We're looking at the new state standardized testing data that's out this morning. Are you a parent or teacher? What are your thoughts on standardized testing here in Wisconsin? What do you make of the drop in test scores in reading and writing? 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Charlie in Milwaukee with a question. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was wondering if there was any way to delineate the results of the charter schools in this data. Are they doing a good job? Are they not as good as the public schools? And also, is there any satisfaction with the schools in these type of statistics? Do they show that the parents and the children like the current schools or if they prefer charter schools? Thanks so much.
Yeah, Charlie, thank you. Heather, what do we know about how the charter schools performed in this data?
Well, this particular set of data that was released by the Department of Public Instruction today doesn't break down that distinction. It just shows us how well kids did across the board in both public and private schools. Charter schools are factored into the public schools category because those are publicly funded public schools, even though they may be operated independently or by the district. And so we don't know how charter schools fared on these tests by looking at the data before us today, but we will have that data in about a month when the Department of Public Instruction releases its district report cards, which disaggregates all of that data and more by individual schools.
When we look at this data, we're talking about, it seems, minuscule amounts. About 39.3% of students tested proficient or better in English, and that was down from 40.6% last year. How significant are these tenth of a percentage point changes?
I almost hate to say this, but I don't know how seriously most parents take these scores. I think what most parents look at is, how well is my child doing? Is my child keeping up with the grade? Is my child doing well with social and emotional learning in the school? Does my child have the resources he or she needs to succeed? And so while, yes, we do definitely want to see our bar stay high and our numbers go up across the state, I feel like without that context, we aren't really getting a clear assessment of what's going on in our schools by looking only at these scores.
Let's bring in Rick now, who is joining us from Ashland. Good morning, Rick.
Hi.
Hi.
So my comment is just that I think that the focus of the discussion is a little off. I'm a teacher. I don't feel curriculum is really the issue. At my school, we have about 180 teachers. We lost 40 of them this past year. The problem is we're driving out our educated, experienced teachers. And I'm not saying that the new people aren't good, aren't passionate, but we have a number of people who are not certified in the area that they're teaching, and some not even certified in teaching. I think that's a big concern. Teaching is not an easy thing, and we're driving out people who are experts at teaching.
Heather, what do you make of that point on the loss of teachers and in teachers being ready for the classroom?
Rich, thank you so much for raising that point, because I think if these test scores tell us anything, it's that the state is not doing its job in making sure that our students improve. And how can we get to better? I feel like these scores just affirm everything that Rich said, that teachers have said around the state, that parents have said around the state, as we've gone to the commission hearings for the Blue Ribbon Commission on School Funding, which went around the state a couple years ago, the budget hearings we just had. Schools are saying, we don't have the educators we need. We don't have the resources we need. We don't have the funding we need to meet the needs of students in all of these different categories, and we're struggling even to make ends meet. And yet, when faced with this data, we aren't providing the critical supports to make sure that schools can be fully staffed with the best teachers who are paid fairly, and we aren't making sure that we have the funding, say, to provide specialized instruction for students who are English language learners or have disabilities or are economically disadvantaged. We're simply doubling down on the status quo while expecting improved results. It's not fair to kids, and it doesn't really help them to look at this data and say, oh, you're doing worse. Well, we're doing worse by refusing to help them do better.
So if there is a loss of teachers, but test scores stay the same, doesn't that tell us about the impact of fewer teachers?
I think it certainly does. And again, I wouldn't want to make blanket assessments about what this looks like statewide, because you really have to go and look at it school by school and district by district.
And
these test scores tell us what we already know, which is that well-resourced schools will score higher and better than schools that aren't well-resourced. And this is a pattern that we've seen again and again and again as this data comes out. And we're getting a little weary, I think, as education advocates of seeing more evidence of what we already know and what we've already been trying to sound the horn about. We'd like to see some evidence of what we know works.
Let's bring in Dana now in Manitowoc with thoughts on this. Dana, hi.
Hi, good morning. Happy rainy Friday.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, as a parent and as a teacher at a college level, you know, I'm not a big, huge advocate of standardized testing in the sense that I really don't think it identifies what a student's true potential to learn and achieve and excel is. You know, but that being said, it does provide a benchmark of data in which we can track progression. In Manitowoc, kind of what happened, and I'm speaking specifically, you know, to my son, so that's a very small piece of the puzzle. But when he was in second grade, our district adapted the Common Core curriculum, and Carson was identified as one of the kids amongst many that just didn't adapt to that new curriculum, and it left him with a huge knowledge gap, you know, that he's still trying to recover from, you know, 8 years later. So that being said, you know, when districts looked at adopting new curriculum into their, you know, their district teaching patterns, you know, it monkeys with their standardized tests, sometimes for years to come. Mm. You know, how is that held at a state level? How do, you know, at the administrative level in Wisconsin, you know, when we look at new curriculum, you know, how do you guys plan for that as far as, you know, the effects that it's going to have on standardized tests down the road?
Well, we'll get to Dana's point here in just a moment. Dana, thank you so much. Heather Dubois-Bornon is with us. She heads up the Wisconsin Public Education Network, talking about new state standardized test scores out this morning from the Department of Public Instruction. What do you think of the results? Do they surprise you, concern you? What about curriculum? 800-642-1234. Back to this in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. We're looking at new state standardized test results out this morning here on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The state's forward exams were given to 589,000 students during the second semester of last school year. Are you a parent or teacher? What are your thoughts on standardized testing? Is it fair to apply the same standard everywhere? Does it make sense? 800-642-1234. Heather Dubois-Bornon is our guide. She's the executive director of the nonpartisan Wisconsin Public Education Network that advocates for public schools, and she stays with us. Heather, Dana in Manitowoc was saying there before our break that sometimes curriculum takes years for kids to adjust to, and that may also affect progression and development. Is there anything to that? Heather, are you there?
I'm here. Sorry. Can you still hear me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. Dana raises a great point, which is how do kids and teachers adjust to kind of a constantly changing churn of new standards and instructional materials? One of the things that I think is kind of a common misconception about the way the Common Core state standards work is the idea that they're also attached to a sort of standardized curriculum. That's not actually true. All of the districts in the state still have local control and local authority to choose their own curriculum. They just want that curriculum to be aligned with those standards so that when kids are tested across the state, they're all meeting the same goals. So the standards are kind of like the goals that every district is trying to meet. But different districts have different ways of teaching to those standards and teaching to those tests. So depending on what district you live in, the instructional framework could be quite different. And even within the same district, we have lots of different schools that are using lots of different educational approaches to personalize and individualize learning to each kid, which is obviously the goal of every classroom teacher to meet the needs of kids where they are. So it really shouldn't matter, in theory, what kind of public school you're going to. You should have the same standards, which are achieved by various means. That's the idea behind these tests. But as Dana's story shows, in practice, we see this implemented in lots of different ways, and some ways aren't always a great fit for every kid, and that can take time and require a lot of one-on-one attention and staffing that some districts simply don't have to make sure that we're not letting any kids slip through the cracks. So when we look at all of this data, I think one of the things we see is kids are slipping through the cracks, and we aren't bringing all of the kids up to the bar that we need to bring them to. The question is, which kids are they? And how can we look at this data in a way that helps us identify those specific kids and target our supports for them, but then more importantly, provide those targeted supports? Senator Luther Olson often says that these test scores and school accountability should be used, in his words, as a flashlight and not a hammer. And so how do we use this data to shine a light on where those issues are and then really hone in on meeting the specific needs of specific kids? That's a problem here, because I see a lot of hammering down on the fact that we think our kids in schools aren't meeting our standards without really focusing our attention where it should be on how do we get them the supports they need.
Let's bring in Nanette now, joining us from Chippewa Falls. Good morning, Nanette.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the air. My comment has to do with the fact that standardized tests are not good for kids, and they really don't help teachers in the classroom. They don't show me as a teacher what a child can do specifically. There are other ways to assess that I do all the time to see if kids are making gains. Your expert is right in that it should be used as a flashlight once in a while to see what's going on. But the way tests are being used, and as she said, the hammer being used with them, right now teachers are all stressed out. That's stressing out your kids. That's not good for kids, and you're not getting the best out of them. We have to remember these are little people. The current standardized test, if any adult took it, would be very difficult for them. It takes some of our students hours and hours to complete. It's ridiculous. And it really doesn't show what they know. Often it shows if they can take a test. And now, often it's done online, or on their iPads, or on the computer, and that makes it another thing. Lots of kids don't have access to those things, and even if we teach them how to use them, they may not be able to use them effectively in a testing setting.
Nanette, thank you for painting that picture for us. Heather, as Nanette says there, that these test results are really stressful for teachers, and she says they may not exactly, as you were saying, give us a real clear indication of where a student needs help.
Well, thank you so much, Nanette, for this comment, because I think you've really summed up the spirit of so much of what we hear from educators, which is basically just let us do what we know we need to do for kids. Teachers know where they need to target their attention to meet the needs of kids in their classrooms. They don't need the standardized test for that, right? They have all other sorts of assessments that they do in the classroom every day that give them the tools that they need to make those educational decisions. These snapshots may be helpful for the state in some ways, but we only see them being applied punitively, and that really becomes a problem. We want to see some evidence of how are our schools meeting needs for kids in ways that aren't reflected in these scores. What kind of class offerings do they have? What are they doing for students to address social and emotional learning needs? Do they have trauma-informed practices at their school? What kind of resources do they have for mental health concerns in the building? We know that college rates, technical training offerings, post-secondary college credits, AP offerings, all of these things also have a huge impact into how, quote-unquote, successful we might consider a school to be. So why aren't we measuring these things with as much vigilance as we are one little data point on a standardized test?
Heather,
it kind of doesn't make sense.
Heather, math seems to be getting worse as students age. As we look at this data, 48% of students were proficient in third grade. Only 34% of eighth graders were proficient. How much focus should schools be putting on improving math skills in particular?
Well, I think schools should be putting loads of attention on how they teach math. And from what I can see, they are. We look at districts around the state and see how they are adjusting their curriculum to meet these needs. And I think they're really digging in and looking at that data at the school level. And we, when we look at the data disaggregated by different categories and we're comparing apples to apples, which is specific students from one year to the next, which is what they use this data for at school levels, as it's useful for them, that's when we can really target those supports. So I think it can be helpful for districts to know which grades they have to hone in on. But in order to do that, you have to compare one specific set of students to itself from one year to the next to see how they've been growing. It's a little bit confusing and not the best way to look at the data to just compare one grade from mm-hmm. year to year, because it's different kids.
And really quickly here, one bright spot perhaps in this data for students who are Hispanic learning English, math scores increased in some grades. What do you think is causing these scores to improve? Do we have any insights there?
Well, I think it's a reflection, again, of what we know we need to do at the school level, which is invest more attention and resources to the kids who need the most, right? And kids who have historically underperformed on these kind of tests. And so in Wisconsin and elsewhere, that has been students who are English language learners, students with disabilities, and students who are economically disadvantaged. When we target supports to those kids, their performance improves. However, we are not seeing an alignment of that need with the resources our schools are getting. There were recommendations put forward in this budget cycle, for example, to increase aid significantly in all of those categories, which were rejected by the state legislature. In the previous budget, which is kind of reflected in the scores before us today, we saw a funding increase that didn't even keep pace with inflation. In the first year of the last budget cycle, the majority of districts got less aid than they had the previous year. And then in the second year, only 55% of districts got more aid than they did the year before. We're funding our schools at a level that doesn't even keep pace with inflation since 2009.
Heather, thank you for joining us.
Results.
Heather Dubois-Bornon is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Public Education Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.